Hey guys, welcome back to episode 61 of Defining Truth. Today, we're going to talk about ceasefires and shutdowns. So let's jump into it. All right, well, it's been a minute, but welcome back to Defining Truth episode. I'm here, as always, with Brandon Jones. Two stories rise above the rest this week. On one side, a historic ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. On the other, Washington grinds to a halt with a government shutdown. Both stories are painted as big turning points, but underneath, it's really all about power. Who has it, who's trying to grab it, and what they're selling. So that's why we're going to strip it down to just these two. No scattergun, just clarity. Let's start in Gaza. All right, so here's the headline everyone's repeating, right? Israel and Hamas agree to a ceasefire after 2 years of war. Let's just stop right there and point out a couple things. Brandon, you and I were talking before the episode today about some of the social media postings that Hamas propaganda machine has put out. And they had posted that one about the peace agreement that Muhammad signed right before he broke that peace agreement and then attacked and took Mecca. What's the symbolism there is that basically Hamas is saying, okay, well, we'll stop now until the next opportunity to wipe the Jewish people off the face of the earth, which I think is, typical. It's what is to be expected. But let's just remember here, there's a lot of banter about the Israeli government and focus on them, et cetera. Frankly, as we were discussing before, I'm utterly shocked at this sort of sycophant, this gross, evil line running through American conservatism right now that is all like anti-Israel, anti-Jewish. It's like people with infantile understanding of how the world works. So let's go over some reminders here real quick of just exactly who Hamas is. Hamas is a brutal terrorist organization. Let's just be clear. They use civilians as human shields. And Hamas has made clear its intent to eradicate the Jewish state from the face of the earth. Hamas continues to hold innocent Israeli hostages, including women, children, elderly. They've shown absolutely no commitment to peace whatsoever, despite the war. They could have ended this, remember, literally the day after had they given the hostages back, but they didn't. They paraded them through the streets where 75%+ of Gazan civilians cheered and ranted and raved about how glorious it was that they had raped and murdered innocent Jewish girls. Israel, to be clear, has gone to unprecedented lengths to minimize civilian casualties, warning civilians before airstrikes, aborting missions to avoid collateral damage, investing in precision targeting. Meanwhile, Hamas and its propaganda machine used staged imagery, paid actors, and sympathetic media in the West to paint Israel as the aggressor, misleading global audiences. This is perhaps one of the most shocking things that I've seen really in my lifetime of serving in the military and being in public service. I never thought that I would see a Nazi-esque culture validated here in the United States and in the West. It's truly shocking and a testament to the spiritual warfare that's really going on in the world, right? How else do you explain this level of ignorance and darkness and blindness when you openly defend terrorists like Hamas, who let's just be, if we can be blunt for a minute. On October 7th, they did a lot of stuff, but they did stuff like they took a pregnant mother who had other like toddlers there in the room. They murdered her in front of her kids, cut the baby out of her stomach and put it in an oven and cooked it while her kids watched. And then they filmed a propaganda video with her children standing there in the room with her dead body and live streamed it so the whole world could see. That's what we're dealing with. And yet we have to listen to Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson rant and rave about Jews. It's unbelievable. It's really disgusting. And for those who call themselves Christians, there's a real heart check that needs to occur here in what you're digesting, because a lot of people have been led astray with propaganda coming straight from hell. I digress. Well, why don't you go into the sort of narrative analysis there, and I'll come back in a minute.
Yeah, so, you know, it's clear that Hamas has no value for life, much like many other Muslim countries and Islamic countries in the Middle East. They don't value life the way that the West does, the way that Christians do. And, you know, a great example of that is early on in the war, you know, Israel sends these leaflets down that you had mentioned when you were talking about minimizing civilian casualties and giving warnings. They send these leaflets down to tell people, I think it was to go south, right? To go some direction. And Hamas is stopping the civilians from going.
Right. They want them dead.
Yeah, because they know that Israel, you know, won't strike with the force that they intend to if there's civilians on the ground. You mentioned Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson, and we're going to talk about progressive media and activist groups that amplify these sort of Hamas narratives that often portray the terrorist organization as some sort of resistance movement rather than the genocidal entity that they are. And, you know, not only is the progressive media doing that, but now you have people on the right, Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, who are, you know, kind of regurgitating that same narrative. As we know, there's been protests across Western cities that echo, you know, Hamas slogans calling from the river to the sea, which is a euphemism for the destruction of Israel. They're reframing moral clarity and presenting the aggressor as the opposed and the defender as the villain. And, you know, they refuse to name Hamas as evil, which enables widespread moral confusion, especially among younger audiences shaped by emotionally charged but inaccurate narratives.
Mind you, we have seen people chanting River to the Sea recently, just in the last few days, in New York City.
Oh, it's been happening across the country. I mean, if you look at Berkeley or San Francisco, white liberals are obsessed with the from the river to the sea.
Yeah, it's interesting to me, like even social media influencer-wise, to see the sort of pattern of crazies where people are just led astray by every whim and wind and whisper, especially when it comes to doctrine theologically, and even more so when it comes to geopolitical and world events. You have mostly it's propagated by people who really are not authorities on the matter. They have no idea what they're talking about. They've never served in a public service capacity in any way, shape, or form. They pontificate because they sit on X or Instagram all day and they scroll through random videos, unvalidated nonsense, right? It's all gobbledygook. And then they get on and they lead these armies of, you know, this isn't new, but prior times in history, they're referred to as useful idiots, right? This is America's opponents that use people to repeat these propaganda messages. And it's truly astonishing, right? Like how I mentioned, like we watched what Hamas did on October 7th. And then for an American pundit to turn around and obsessively rant about Israel every single day while ignoring the evil that's right in front of your face is truly dark. I mean, the level of ignorance is astounding. And then you have all these like minor characters throughout the country and the world who are on there repeating just super generalized statements based on just clips, right? There's no context. They'll take a 10 or 15 second clip and they'll build a mountain out of it, right? And they'll say things like, well, I didn't like something that the government of Israel did, so we got to wipe out all Jews. You know, it's like, exactly. If you're wondering how Hitler did this to Germany, and of course we know the end result there, this is exactly how it happened. Just people swept away by mindless emotions and lies. And for what? Why? There's this odd contrarian axis in the world today. It's people's addiction to be contrary to everything. Nothing can ever be what it is, right? Charlie Kirk was killed on live video for the whole world to see. And immediately people are like, it was the Jews. It was the FBI. It was the government. All the conspiracy people are all claiming things against each other and no one trusts anybody. I mean, there's an addiction. The age of communication has destroyed critical thinking in this country, because every moron out there with a microphone suddenly thinks that they're a doctorate, studies expert. And it's just, it's unbelievable. Now, of course, you know, does a blind rat find a piece of cheese sometimes in the sewer? Of course. So we're not saying that every single thing is false or that there isn't truth in questioning government actions, etc. But the general sort of immature, infantile perspective on the world, like, is astounding to me. I'll give you an example, right? Like, you don't like something that, like, the CIA does or did, right? So you find some story about something they did that you don't like. All of a sudden, it's like, it's this grand conspiracy. And it's like, do you not understand that a first world nation needs an intelligence service? Like, do you know what they do? Do you understand how that fits into global conflicts and geopolitics? But again, because of communication, the internet, social media, we have these pundits that view life in snippets and clips. And it's really made us a lot dumber, despite the access to information. I look, I'm saying you use technology for good, but instead of using it to further snippets of idiocy, you should use it to learn and actually, like, think critically through subjects and topics. Like, maybe the guys that went in and murdered babies and raped women are not the good guys, you know? Maybe Israel has a right to defend themselves when it comes to that level of violence and aggression. I mean, this is nothing new. I just had a great conversation up in LA on a show that's, you know, I'm sure coming out at some point. We talked about the just war theory and you know, Thomas Aquinas and even some 12th century Jewish scholars like Maimonides who wrote about it. And of course, Augustine. And this has long been figured out, right? There's a moral approach to when the use of violence is appropriate. And the just war theory sort of covers war itself as well. Okay, part of it is legitimate authority, just cause, proportionality was added later, and intent is a big one too. Like, what's the point? And America has really done a great job at demonstrating the sort of last chunk of that, which is reconciliation, right? We go in, we defeat bad, we defeat the evil, and then what? There's reconstruction. We want to build free democracies. We want to build people up. All of this is nothing new, but we've entered into this strange, like, spiritually dark, blind era where all these people are like lemmings going over a cliff about how much they love Hitler and hate Israel all of a sudden. It is seriously difficult for me to understand.
Yeah, I was going to mention, so as you know, I just got back from Europe, and one of the places we went was Germany in Berlin, or Berlin in Germany, rather, and you know, we toured a concentration camp, Sachsenhausen, I think was the name of it. It was a workers' camp that was eventually liberated by the Russians. And, you know, probably for the world's sake, a lot of the you know, horrors that the Nazis did in these camps weren't recorded on video. But it led me to think about when we went to, I forget the name of the museum, but we went, the Israeli consulate, you know, showed the body cam footage that, you know, these Hamas terrorists wore.
Stream footage, yeah.
Definitely, you know, you've been to war, you were a cop. That is definitely the most grotesque thing I've ever seen. It was uncomfortable. It was hard to stay in the room. And it's part of me thought that it was a good thing that the things that the Nazis did weren't recorded that way. But then I thought, well, maybe it, you know, maybe it should have been. Maybe it would have ended quicker, or people would have a different perspective. I mean, I think that everybody who supports Palestine or Hamas or however you want to frame it, they should be required to watch the videos of the things that happened on that day. I mean, you're talking about the woman with, you know, that gets murdered in front of her children. You know, I think about the dad that runs into the bunker and, you know, doesn't lock the door in time, and the Hamas terrorist throws literally a grenade and closes the door, and, you know, him and his children are just blown to smithereens. It's like, it is absolutely ridiculous for these, like, leftist liberals in our country who are, you know, having coffee in San Francisco, you know, and then going to the park after, to have any sort of opinion on what's happening between Israel and Hamas. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. You know, I think that definitely going to a concentration camp, I mean, you can still, like, people talked about before we went, like, you could still feel the evil that, like, creeps through those grounds. And I was kind of like, okay. But I mean, like, quite literally, when you walk through the same path that, you know, those poor people walk through, and, you know, most of them eventually to their slaughter, I mean, it's just like, puts the whole thing into a different perspective. It's definitely something that everybody should do. It's intense. You're literally on the grounds of where people were murdered, literally just because of, you know, they were Jewish. So I'm kind of irritated with the whole liberal leftists pontificating about what they think about geopolitics. And it's still, I always, whenever I think about it, I always think of like the gays for Palestine. It's like, okay, yeah, go be gay in Palestine and tell me how that works out.
Yeah, well, and you know, as believers, we know the Bible warns against this. You have Isaiah chapter 5:20 that warns against calling evil good and good evil. And that is precisely the moral inversion that we see in modern narratives about this conflict, where you have people drawing a false moral equivalency here. There is no equal here. It's not Hamas is on one side, Israel's on the other side, and they're two sides of the, you know, two equal sides fighting for some good. No, it's not like that at all. There's good and there's evil. There's Hamas, who intentionally burned children in ovens and murdered their mothers while the kids watched. And then there's Israel, that warns civilians, get out of the area because we're trying to find Hamas. And then Hamas forces people to stay and builds bunkers underneath hospitals. I mean, they are literally the embodiment of evil. And I don't know that anything bothers me more than just this year alone, watching American conservatives, especially some of them, right? This sort of strain in there that has taken this weird, like, you know, I maybe Hitler was right turn, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. It's insane. And they're only really showing their truth selves. There's no room for this type of thinking in Christianity at all. There are certain theological perspectives that sort of lend to this thinking. I don't think that that's their intention, but I think guys like pundits and those that we've seen in the news have taken those theological perspectives, you know, like replacement theology and other similar, and used them as justification. Now, again, I don't think that that's their intention, but that is why good doctrine matters. That's why theology is important, to be careful of what you're putting out there in the name of God, right? Because as you can see, just like the Nazis did, people will take that statement, that theological view, and justify their grotesque actions. And then ultimately it all leads to the same type of destruction. I mean, I think going back to Candace this week, I saw a video of her. I forget the whole context of the story, but she, at some point, she's saying how like Judeo-Christianity is a lie, or I don't know where she was going at it, but a lot of people jumped on it and posted that and asking, you know, for everybody pray for her.
She says that out of one side of her mouth, and then she's like, Christ is king in the next sentence. I don't understand like where she's going with all of this.
Yeah, it's a pretty scary thing to have the name of Christ in your mouth while repeating these like vile, disgusting, evil things about Jews and Israel and all this stuff. And to be clear, I just want to say this, you know, in case anyone is listening and has some harebrained, contrarian, crazy conspiracy idea. We're not like, nobody pays us to do this. We're just sitting here talking. We're not saying these things because we're, you know, being lobbied or something like that. And we're saying these things because we're Christians, because we're like decent people. It's common sense. You know, like you have, America's allowed to have allies around the world. They don't have to, you know, you don't have to be paid money to say the right thing. It's the opposite, actually. You know, a lot of stuff's coming out about Tucker and the Qataris lately. So why don't we, you know, talk about that a little more, about millions of dollars and him shaking hands with emirs and whatnot. I mean, it's the hypocrisy is astounding from those supporting Hamas. And I think you mentioned the left. I'm talking about sort of the strain within conservatism. I don't think they're the same, the conservatives, you know, in this strain. I think that they've been swept away by this insane, evil, we hate Jews, weird, like, dark online sites. I don't know, like, they're insane, but they're not the same as the left. But they sort of, it's the horseshoe effect, right? They end up at the same place.
Yeah, I would almost venture to say, though, and we might disagree on that, I think they're actually more dangerous. Like, we expect the world to act this way. But for people to claim to be Christians, and maybe, you know, maybe it's just a simple fact as simple as, you know, they're of the world as well. But for Christians who are supposed to be know their Bible and follow God's word to be going down this path and thinking this way, That's pretty dangerous too.
Well, let's wrap this up with just a few points here. If you're wondering what Defining Truth's position is, what my position is, here it is. Hamas is not a freedom movement. It's a genocidal, evil terrorist organization that hides behind children and elderly to mask its own evil. Two, no nation in history has done more than Israel to protect civilian lives in wartime. That's a fact. And if you don't think so, just shows how little you really know of war. And yet the world condemns the defender and excuses the aggressor, in this case, Hamas. Three, when the left amplifies Hamas's talking points, knowingly or not, and I would say these conservative contrarian crazies, they're advancing a propaganda campaign aimed at the destruction of the Jewish people. That's a fact. And lastly, and fourth, this is not a morally gray situation here. One side targets civilians and takes hostages and murders babies. The other warns civilians before defending itself. And Israel has a right to exist. As much as you would have a right to exist, if you lived in a border town, say like San Diego, and an army of a couple thousand cartel members came across and started murdering and raping American citizens and slaughtering people, you would have a right to stop that from happening again. I don't understand. I don't get it. It seems so common sense. From both, you can obviously have a theological and faith discussion about it, but even before you get there, it's common geopolitical sense. Like, we have allies. I don't know what happened to the world. Like, when did terrorists become good? It's mind blowing. Anyways, let's move on to the second half here. The U.S. government shutdown, power, control, biblical government. What's it all about? So what happened? Federal shutdown triggered, what was it, October 1st, October 1, due to failure to pass a funding bill. This means essential services continue while hundreds of thousands of non-essential employees are furloughed. Both parties are engaged in political messaging wars. Of course, they're blaming each other. They're at an impasse. Shutdowns historically are used as leverage points, not really accidental breakdowns. In other words, everybody knows this is coming, right? Economic effects are uneven. Contractors are hit first. Core services sort of limp along. Appropriations failed. No budget deal. And boom, we have a shutdown. What drives me crazy is that every time this happens, it's framed like some kind of accident. And like Congress just tripped and fell into a shutdown. It's not an accident. It's leverage, right? It's power politics. Shutdowns are a tool. You squeeze, you stall, you try to win the optics wars. Both parties are doing it. They call each other obstructionist and the other one says we're fighting for the people. I mean, the bottom line is right now the Democrats are using this as yet another tool. They absolutely hate Trump. Let's be honest. They have tried everything in the book to stop this guy from helping the American people, right? They framed him as every possible thing. It's so funny that they're so pro Hamas, but when it comes to an American president who wants to put America first, it's like, you are just the epitome of evil, right? They tried Russia collusion. They tried, They arrested him.
Yeah.
it's just, so here we are now at an opportunity where they don't have a lot of power. They don't have the support of the American people by and large. They don't have really control. And so here's an opportunity for them to just put a stick in the spokes and trip everything up.
Yeah. I mean, look, the bottom line is, we needed 60 votes in the Senate to overcome the filibuster to proceed with the funding, and there's 53 Republicans. So if you do the math, we needed 7 or 8 Democrats to jump on board, and they chose not to because, like you said, they're holding it as a hostage situation. This is actually, I think because every year there's this sort of looming, like the government's going to shut down, and sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I actually thought it happened more often. The last time it happened, which was the longest, was between December 2022 of 2018 and January 25th of 2019. That was the longest one at 35 days. There was a 16-day shutdown in 2013. The second longest one was in 1996, and there's been a couple in between at 21 days. So we are approaching, I mean, we're on day 10. So it is definitely one of the longer shutdowns. But I think it's clear. I mean, we needed 60 votes, and instead of the Democrats getting what they can now and going back for the rest later, they're going to hold the entire country hostage because...
Well, and yeah, you're right. And let's be clear about what they're holding the country hostage over. I mean, the Democrats have embed ideological programs making the government swell to disproportionate sizes. I mean, I'm talking about programs like DEI, radical gender policies, climate initiatives, all this stuff that was ideological gobbledygook to advance progressive Marxism. And so we have the opportunity finally to get America back to the stuff that really matters, right? Fundamental needs, both abroad and domestically. And they're squirming. They're squirming because they lose track of billions of dollars in a lot of these random nonsense programs, right? They put fancy words on it like DEI or, you know, gender policy or whatever. But you see what happens. Take California, for example. California, what? How much unaccounted? Was it $40 billion?
Oh, I think it's approaching 60, but yeah.
So close to $60 billion in, you know, taxpayer money. This is your money, by the way, that just goes off into these nonsense ideological programs and just disappears. And nobody knows where it went, or no one's accountable. And when asked, I remember, was it the Secretary of State here in California was like, we just don't know where it went. And then poof, it's just not talked about anymore. And nobody in the media really cares to ask. And probably because there's people out there that got a lot of it, right? Even during the initial Doge days, they were finding just ridiculous things that would, like, the IRS, the government itself won't tolerate from private corporations or businesses, right? Like, what was one of the things they found about empty warehouses? It was like $400,000 a month being paid to, like, empty warehouses around the country. Well, who's getting that money? And so that's what this is really about. Republicans are sticking to their guns to protect the integrity of what the people voted them in for. This is what the people have demanded, and Democrats are holding on to these ideological progressive Marxist programs and other things. And they're really kind of messing everybody over for it. Really what it's about is, you know, big government versus small government. At the end of the day, that's what it's about, right? Republicans want less government. Democrats think that the government is God and there should be a lot more of it. What it does reveal is how dependent the nation has become on this massive overgrown administrative state. Which is crazy, because let's pause for a minute and just talk about what is the purpose of government according to the Bible. So if you're a Christian, we know that Romans 13 says that the intent of government, which is established by God, is to restrain evil, protect the innocent, administer justice, right? It's not to control every aspect of your personal life. Even 1 Samuel chapter 8 warns against this centralized power and overreach. Dr. Norman Geisler, the Christian apologist, writes about this when he says that government is a servant, not a master. Expansive bureaucracy drifts towards dependency and moral erosion. We know that. The founders believe that too, right? Subservience. What did he say? Dependency breeds subservience. So we've always been about this. The left, you know, as they've rejected God and the notion of personal accountability, they've established government as the only deity that they care about. So they have to control everything. That's the path forward for them. And we definitely are in the way, ideologically speaking. Shutdowns expose the fragility of a system that has strayed from biblical principles of limited governments. And I think that's really the key if you're a Christian, that there's no third wayism here. This isn't like, oh, I can stay out of politics. I'm on neither side. Well, you have to pick a side if you're a Christian, because you're either good or evil. You either stand for truth or you stand for a lie. You can't serve two masters at the same time. It's not politics. It's God's morality. So you either have a government that's established on biblical principles, or you have a government established by those who hate God and worship themselves. So which is it, right? And I would caution as a Christian that you should carefully think about political matters. Because political matters, it's just semantics, right? What does that really mean? It's ideology. It's things that people believe. So you should not be aligning yourself with groups of people that are God haters, that reject everything the Bible says, reject God's word, reject his commandments, It's not a middle ground. Oh, I don't have to talk about that because it's politics. No, it's everything. It's life. It is the struggle ideologically for who controls. So I guess in closing, the shutdown really isn't about whether the government works or not. It's about whether it's grown so big that we can't live without it. The left uses crisis to expand power. Every shutdown becomes a staged morality play designed to paint conservatives as villains. But biblically speaking, government is supposed to be a guardrail, not a steering wheel. Okay. A guardrail, not a steering wheel. It's to restrain evil and punish evildoers. But you independently and morally are required to do the right thing and to live humbly. A laborer is worthy of his wages, right? It's the exact opposite of the God-hating progressive Marxist ideology. Both stories, the Gaza ceasefire, the U.S. shutdown, they're narrative battlefields, as we know. In one case, evil is being rebranded as resistance, like they're doing with Hamas. And the other, government overreach is disguised as compassion. A biblical worldview, though, brings light into this fog. We know the truth, and it will set you free. John chapter 8, if evil should be named, and it should, truth sets people free, and the nation that honors God is blessed. Remember, Isaiah chapter 5 says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. But to cap it, Psalms 33, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We'll see you guys next time.